Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
When Christian first became a brewer and throughout his time as a brewer, he has made it known that his number one priority is to help our organization attain its first world championship. Talking to Christian over the offseason, talking to him over the past few weeks here in Arizona, I know that that priority remains. I know that he's as committed to it as ever.
General Manager and President of Baseball Operations of the Milwaukee Brewers, David Stearns, earlier today, as the team announces officially the 7-year, $188.5 million contract extension for Christian Yelich. Brewers had to trade a hefty price of their, at the time, number one farm system in baseball to acquire the 2018 MVP, but now that you lock him in for a decade, it all makes sense and it all works out. Joining us now, a guy that knows all about the prospect ranks in Major League Baseball, Mike Rosenbaum of MLB Pipeline, joins the Wendy's Big Show on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline now. Mike, appreciate the time today.
Yeah, happy to be joining you guys. Thanks for having me.
Mike, there's been a lot of conversation about where the Brewers farm system is now today, but back when they made the move for Christian Yelich, they were one of the best farm systems in baseball. Just across the league, how quickly do these farm systems generally turn over from having maybe a top five farm system to then cycling back towards the bottom once those guys hit the majors?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that the Brewers are a very good example. You know, there is a cost to being a competitive team and keeping your competitive window open. And that's very, can be seen exactly in how the Brewers have operated over the past couple of years. You can see the same thing in the White Sox to an extent. You can see the same thing with the Yankees. And it's kind of a sign of a very well-run organization, in my opinion, is when you have a farm system that keeps churning out guys who can help you acquire major league talent to help you keep winning at the major league level. And, you know, in the Brewers' case, yes, they do have a much weaker farm system now than they did a couple of years ago. But I think that's a fair trade-off, you know, for an organization that has a chance to continue to win.
All right, let's talk about some of these guys on this list. Obviously, Bryce Terang is at one, and if he didn't have a down senior season or whatever, and they say it was because of all the hype that went around his junior season or whatever the case was of why he kind of fell back a little bit, he was projected to be, what, number one or number two that year that they drafted him going into that high school baseball season. Just how good is Bryce Terang, and how much better do you think he can be? We've watched him here in spring training. He looks like physically small to me. Like, he looks like he could stand to add some weight and muscle.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest, I guess you could call it, knock on him, is just that he's a little bit undersized right now. And with that, he doesn't hit for a lot of power, which keeps him from, projecting and having that high ranking compared to some of the other, like, minor league shortstops or middle infielders you see across the game. But as you said, you know, this was a guy who was looked at as one of the top high school position players in the country going into his senior year. And I think that it's not even that he had a bad senior year. I think it was that when you're seen that often and you're on all the showcases, playing in front of all these scouts, you almost suffer from overexposure. You know, that's why you hear about these guys in the draft, like, oh, he has late helium. Oh, he's a late riser. And that's just because teams kind of like that shiny new toy. And with Terang, he kind of lost a little bit of that, that shimmer, that prospect shimmer. But, you know, as you guys know, you've seen him this spring. He got up to high A ball last year as a, 19, 20-year-old. That's an accomplishment. He's very solid. He can do a little bit of everything. And everybody I talked to was like, hey, this guy's going to be a good big leaguer.
Talking with Mike Rosenbaum of MLB Pipeline here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, and also Keston Hiro is one of those top guys, and he's been able to produce right away at the big league level for the Milwaukee Brewers. But one guy that I was super excited about, Mike, is Brandon Woodruff. I thought the competitive balance and the competitive nature that he has was going to play well into the big leagues. How much in your guys' rankings can those makeup qualities be, not just only, you know, what pitches and where they grade out on the 20 to 80 scale?
I think that helps a lot, but a lot of times you don't really have an idea for that makeup and that competitiveness until a guy gets, you know, a little bit into his career. So with a guy like Woodruff, I think he was a 13th, 14th round pick out of college, you know, wasn't a particularly sexy prospect at that time, even though, you know, he had a good fastball, good breaking ball. But then, you know, you see him enter the pro ranks and this guy's dominating and this guy's moving and you're like, oh, he's got the it quality, you know? So I think once you realize that, once a guy gets into pro ball, you see that, and it kind of factors in. But it's honestly, it's hard to assess that at a certain point in a guy's career. But going back to Woodruff, I think that's one of the Brewers' biggest strengths in their player development is finding those college arms who are a little bit under the radar, the Corbin Burns, the Woodruffs, and really, you know, facilitating their development and getting a very good big league pitcher out of them.
Yeah, do you think it's the way of baseball is going more so with the bullpen, the guys, because I think the average starter went like 6 2/3 or something like that. Or do you think it'll go back to your number one pitcher, try to get in seventh, maybe even get into the eighth, then bring the bullpen in? Because that can really tax you out a lot of bullpens. If that's the case, then the Brewers can compete with a lot of teams because they don't have this frontline number one starter to every fifth day go eight and sometimes complete games. But you don't see a lot of complete games anymore. What do you think the trend is going for baseball now?
I think it's going to keep. We're going to be seeing more of this, an emphasis on multi-inning relievers, bullpen guys. You know, as they did with Woodruff, as they did with Corbin Burns. I think that's a very valuable pitcher in this day and age, especially, you know, with everything you're saying that you know, there's less of priority on making sure guys, you know, a starter can go 7 or 8 innings when you've got all these nasty upper 90s. 6 secondary pitch guys in the bullpen, you really don't need to have the best starting rotation.
Yeah, the reason why I say that because a couple Brewer fans are coming up to me and they didn't like the Yelich deal. You could have spent all that money on frontline pitching. And I'm like, well, listen, we got an expert coming on later and I'll ask him. So I'm just so refreshing for you to say what you said because that's what people think. Pitching overwhelms hitting. But in this ballpark, I'm okay with him hitting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think pitchers are inherently volatile a little bit, especially with starting pitchers and you know, the one-inning reliever types. But when you get guys who are developed as starters and then put into a bullpen role, you know, Hader's a good example as well, you can see the impact that it has on being able to bridge the gap from starter to the back end of a game. And I think that's invaluable.
When we talk about this top 30 list at MLBPipeline.com for the Brewers, are there any pitchers on there that pique your interest? Obviously, Ethan Small is right there at the top of the list. He's one of them. Drew Rasmussen, I think, was what, Billy, around 99 miles an hour or something like that.
Yeah, he was able to gas early on this spring.
Throwing. Are there pitchers on that list that you go, yeah, maybe down in, you know, 2-3 years, maybe they can be in this Brewers rotation and be pretty good?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Drew Rasmussen is a great example. Both in terms of a guy who can help a club years down the road, but also pretty soon, you know, you put him in the same role that you put Corbin Burns in the past and Hader, and like, I mean, he's going to work on the bullpen in a bullpen role. That's for sure. I think the decision comes down to whether you want to continue to develop him as a starter, given like his injury history, a couple Tommy John surgeries, or do you try and harvest that value in a more immediate role? But like looking down the line, I'm particularly high on Aaron Ashby and Antoine Kelly, the two left-handed pitchers they've taken in the early rounds of the past two drafts. Kelly stands out more for his big fastball. He's a guy who's pretty raw. He's going to have to refine his secondaries, but anyone you talk to, they're like, oh yeah, there's something there. And Ashby, he's kind of got that it factor as well as we were talking about before. fastball isn't great. You know, it's 92 to 95, but just really, really good slider. And guy knows how to compete and miss bats. So I would keep an eye on them.
What about the international kids on this list? I mean, there's a 16-year-old on there. There's a couple of 17-year-olds on there. Obviously, a lot tougher to project when they're this young. But they've also spent millions of dollars on these kids, too, because they're not a part of the draft process yet. I think that's coming eventually.
Yeah, and with the Brewers specifically, when they target international guys, and I think this the names on the list reflected, they're really looking for up-the-middle guys. And by that, I mean guys who can play shortstop, guys who can play center field, guys who could stick behind the plate and catch. And that's kind of been their focus in the international realm in recent years, giving out, you know, seven figures to guys like Eduardo Garcia, Carlos Rodriguez, and to a lesser extent, Hedbert Perez, I think, is the really interesting name from their past international class this year. Left-handed hitting center fielder who can place actually stick in center field. He hits for average in power now, and I think he's going to be a really interesting rising prospect within the system.
When you look at the Brewers' ability to draft since David Stearns has been here, how would you grade them? Because I mean, he's been changing guys seemingly every year. It's a different guy atop of who's making the draft choices.
Yeah, I think it's been strong. I think that there's a emphasis on getting guys who can help in the near-ish future, not immediately, but I mean, here is a very good example. That's a guy who can, I mean, you guys saw what he did. He's awesome. I've loved that guy. He can really hit. Terang, you know, for a high school guy, he can move quickly. You know, they may not have the highest ceilings. They may not be the most complete players available in the draft, but I think the Brewers' ability to identify talent who fits their mold of the player they're trying to develop is, you know, on par with some of the best organizations in the game.
Let's talk about another guy on that list, a guy that we've talked about here on this show, and that's Feliciano, the catcher. I think we're all really excited to see what this cat's all about once he gets up here to this level. Your thoughts on him as a future catcher for the Brewers?
Yeah, I think what stands out with him most right now is the bat. Yes, he strikes out a lot. Yes, he's got some swing and miss, but when he makes contact, you know, he hits the ball as hard and well as just about anyone in that farm system. The defense is he's made a lot of strides in the last year. I think he still needs to just work on the focus, the mental aspect of catching. I think all the tools are there, but he's also, you know, 21, so he's got some time to figure that out. And you know, they actually have Brewers have some really nice catching depth beyond him too. Peyton Hedry's a good defensive catcher, albeit with you know some more strikeout issues. And they've got like guys, a young guy Jefferson Cuero. They're going to be trying one of their college draft picks from this past year, Thomas Diller, behind the plate to see if there's something there. So the Brewers are definitely you know, within their farm system, developing catching is definitely a focus.
And, Mike, don't worry. Everybody's striking out these days, right? I mean, everybody's striking out a bunch these days. Mike Rosenbaum joining us from MLB Pipeline here on the Wendy's Big Show for a couple of more minutes here on The Fan. Take one look away from the Brewers here for just 1 second, Mike. And two guys within the top 11 of your top 100 are Wisconsin products, being Gavin Lux, the number 2 overall prospect, and Jared Kelnick, two guys from the state of Wisconsin. Just how good are their projections getting into the major leagues where you have them right now?
Oh, very good. I mean, I think Lux already showed that, you know, he's a big leaguer when he came up last year and played his way into a playoff role with the Dodgers. I think both of these guys are for real. Lux obviously is ready to contribute now, and Kelenic's not far away. I know he's only 20. He's only had a little bit of time in Double A, but he's really good. Both of these guys are really good, just complete ball players. I think with Kelenic, you're still kind of getting an idea about how much power he's going to hit for. But I think it's going to be, you know, 20-plus homer power. And you know, Gavin Lux isn't the biggest guy in the world either, but I think that he's going to hit for some real power too. I love that swing. I love the bat speed. I think both these guys are impact players, and you know, they're going to do the Wisconsin ranks proud.
Let's talk about that for a second. Has Wisconsin kind of come onto the scene more here in the last several years, as far as from a baseball standpoint, with kids coming out of high school and ending up in the different colleges, and then even some, you know, ending up in the amateur draft itself? Because let's face facts, I mean, we got snow here. We have negative degree temperatures for 3-4 months out of the year, maybe longer than that in some cases. So you don't get the advantage of playing year round like you do in California or Florida or Texas. We have indoor baseball facilities, but still, that's not the same thing.
You're preaching to the choir, man. I grew up in Illinois, so I'm pretty familiar with cold weather baseball and you know how brutal that can be. But I think it's reached the point in scouting and amateur scouting that teams are more and more willing to look outside the box, be outside the traditional. Oh, you know, we're going to look for guys in Florida, Texas, California that play year round. Teams are looking for value wherever they can find it. And if that's, you know, a player from the Wisconsin high school ranks who may not get as many looks or may not be talked about in national circles as much, teams are going to go there and see what that's all about.
But do you think the kids that are in Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota, Iowa, do you think they're behind the eight ball a little bit because they don't get the advantage of being able to play year-round like that from a training perspective?
I think so, to an extent, sure. But with a lot of those really good high school kids from the cold weather states, they're going to be out traveling, playing in competitive tournaments, getting a lot of more exposure than the typical high school Wisconsin player. So I think that it's a really good question. I don't know. I think that it's come a long way in recent years, just with the more interest and metrics in scouting and how teams go about all of that. But I do think cold weather players are inherently at a disadvantage still.
Mike, final thing for you. Go back to the Brewers prospect list here. And as I'm waiting to find the former Golden Spikes Award winner and top five overall pick, Corey Ray, I had to get all the way down to number 10. With the injury concerns from last year, And just continuing to stack these guys up, because you guys change up these rankings pretty much all year long. How quickly can somebody ascend back towards the top? Because Corey Ray was a top three prospect in the system for the better part of since he's been drafted. Yep. But when you take into account what they did last year, what you think that they can do coming up here into 2020, how quickly can those rankings change?
It can change very quickly, especially I think Corey Ray is a good example, because especially with a guy like him, as you mentioned, he's had injury problems. He had one very good season in Double A where he's, hit a bunch of homers, stole a bunch of bases, but even then there were some red flags with the strikeouts. Mm-hmm. So I think with him, a guy who has the pedigree that he does, who's an exceptional athlete, so I don't think anybody questions that Corey Ray is an exceptional athlete and, really good dude, really good guy. I think that there is the potential for him to, from a rankings perspective, shoot way back up the list. If he starts the year in AAA and he's making more contact and the power's playing, he's definitely going to resuscitate his stock quite a bit. But at his current, current point of his career, given his struggles, given the injury history, given how he profiles in the Brewers system with their outfield, it's more of a fourth outfielder profile. That being said, the tools are all still there. So I think that there's quite a bit of potential and room for him to get back on track and reestablish himself as a viable future big leaguer and top prospect.
Mike, really appreciate it, man. This has been just great insight, great baseball conversation. Hopefully we can do it again sometime, all right?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. That's Mike Rosenbaum of MLB Pipeline joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrowing your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Glad this Brewers game is an exhibition game, because they look like Barnum and Bailey right now. So
did he just
say
that Corey Ray, the fifth overall pick from a few years ago, would profile really well as a fourth outfielder?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Good. That's a great number five overall pick.
I think people don't realize really how jacked up things have been in this farm system for a while now. Legitimately, when you look down that list, and I like Feliciano, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm there.
Sure.
I love Bryce Terang based on what I've seen of him, but again, small, needs to add some weight. The international guys, if you read MLB Pipeline and you read the description of the international guys, they get me more fired up at 16 and 17-year-olds than do the guys they've actually drafted in the actual amateur draft itself. Because, okay, here's another example. So he brought up Ashby, right? That's one of the guys he likes. Go and read that. And I don't even have it in front of me. But I'm pretty sure it says something along the lines of, if, middle of the rotation guy.
Yeah.
There isn't an if, ace. Those guys don't exist right now in their farm system.
Well, those guys were expected to be on the team last year and expected to be in the rotation. The Corbin Burns was supposed to be the top of the rotation guy.
Correct.
And instead, he gave up 11 home runs and 4 starts.
The pitchers today look just spectacular. Lindblom, again, didn't look good. Who's out there now? Waldy? He just gave up one off the wall. They're losing 5-3.
Jacob Nottingham's got to learn how to catch the baseball.
Urseg almost took Blanco's foot off, so that was nice. Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm glad it's spring training. I'm not going to say anything else.
It's spring training. Spring training. And
Baby Tausch is reacting to every single thing that happens in this game.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they take lines on spring training games, so I get that it doesn't always matter necessarily in the end result.
If you're gambling on spring training, you are officially an addict.
But it can matter for somebody's pocketbook, so I would like to be able to make the routine plays, like the pop-up behind first base.
Since you brought it up.
And catching the baseball.
I put it out on Twitter. From the fan account, Rivers Casino down in Illinois is going to have a sports book, legalized gambling sports book. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there.
Mm-hmm. I have been.
It's very small.
Very small.
Very small. It looks so big from the outside, too.
Doesn't it? It looks huge.
Me and Kay went in there. We're like, oh, I'm going to go check this out. We're like,
the parking structure is 4 times the size of the casino.
Yeah, it's small. So it's right by O'Hare. So are people going to get in their car from Wisconsin and drive all the way down to O'Hare to go to a sports book? That's what I want to know. How many people are they going to pull from southeastern Wisconsin to go down there on a Saturday and bet on college football? How many people are they going to pull from Wisconsin to go down there on Sunday to bet on the NFL? You're raising your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people are betting online already anyhow?
Well, that's true.
So how many people are really going to physically drive down to Illinois to go bet on a sports book? You could bet online.
Yes.
Go sit at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill and probably have a better experience.
Yeah, probably, because you're not going to have to pay for the spot in the sports book.
They probably don't have a 38-foot screen TV, so
no,
I buy 9 other big screen TVs.
Nope.
You don't have 3 levels with those massive booths and everything else.
Probably don't.
I saw the picture. It looks like a Vegas sports book. But that's nothing compared to what the Mecca is.
No.
Again, I just wonder, and people are tweeting, a couple people already tweeted, I'll drive down there and to go check it out.
I'm game. I mean, I'm down.
I don't know, man.
I'm just so mad because we only have a 2-hour and 20-minute layover in Vegas. I don't have time to leave the airport tomorrow and go and press my Bucks bet. Otherwise, I'd be gone. 2 hours and 20 minutes is not enough time to get from McCarran Airport to South Point and back. I don't think so.
Oh, easy.
You think there's enough time?
Oh, my God, yes.
You think that's good?
Sure. I'll look it up in the break.
Okay, cool.
I bet you money you can do it.
We'll bring that back in the break. All right, well, if there's gambling on there, I'm into
it. South Point is never really that busy.
Never usually that busy. That's why I thought South Point would be the easy way to go.
If they got the rodeo there, then you may be in trouble.
Well, then I might be in trouble. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we'll check on that. Would you drive down to Illinois to have some legalized sports gambling? I know I'm game. I don't know if anybody else is. 414-799-1250. Aaron Jones might be game for a new extension after he hears the numbers coming up next.
It's 5 miles.
Yeah, see, that 2 hours, though, that's not a whole lot of time. Then go back through airport security, get myself back into the spot.
It's 12 minutes.
Each way.
Okay, so that's 24 minutes. You still have 2 hours.
I don't know. I'm always a risk taker. I don't know if that's a good gamble that I might be willing to take.
Oh, yeah, you could easily do that.
Wendy's Big Show's back after this on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.